Good morning and welcome to Know Your Rights here on Radio Miraya, the program that comes to you every Friday after the news at 9 a.m. And of course, this program is talking about your rights and other people's rights and how to address them when violated. Now, today, we have a very important conversation that we're going to have with our guests here in the studio. And we're looking at taking a stand against gender-based violence. Now, as you all understand, from the 25th of November to the 10th of December, the campaign of 16 days of activism, where we had a lot of conversation against gender-based violence. Now, today, we have with us here in the studio Gisma Juma, who is an activist, South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network, Women's Cluster. And also we have Flora Lokudu, activist, South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network, also from the Women Cluster. Ladies, good morning. It's good to have you on the Know Your Rights program this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about the 16 days of activism. Of course, the campaign ended, but every day should be a day of activism against gender-based violence. So just briefly tell us so far, what is your take on these 16 days of activism against gender-based violence? How was the campaign? Who is speaking up? Yes, please.
Good morning, and thank you also for hosting us here. Let me speak in Arabic. So
yeah, what's the good amount of school?
Some other listeners also can get it.
Please, go
16
ahead.
16 days of activism campaign. It's really, it's a campaign where help us, بيساعدنا عشان احنا نتذكر الحاجات اللي احنا مفترض نعمله ضد العنف ضد المرأة أو العنف ضد النوع. 16 days of activism. ده أن إحنا قاعدين نشوف إنه ده مناسبة أو فرصة كويس عشان إحنا نقدر نقود واضح التحديات اللي قاعد يواجه النساء والفتيات في جنوب السودان بسبب بتاع العنف، العنف المبني على النوع، العنف المنزلي، زواج بتاع القاصرات أو الزواج المبكر. برضو 16 days of activism بيشجع إنه يكون بيفتح نقاش، يعني بيكون في نقاشات أو بيكون في ناس بيتكلموا عن أسباب بتاع العنف وآثار بتاعه وكيف إحنا بنواجه العنفنا، وكمان بيساعد إنه نكسر الحواجز بتاعة الصمت، يعني بيخلينا نتكلم عن العنف ضد المرأة. برضو بيمكن النساء والفتيات إنه لما نيجي الفترة أو الذكرى بتاع 16 days of activism بيخلينا يدينا الثقة أو بيدي للنسوان والبنات ثقة، وبيشجعهم إنه هما يتكلموا أو يطالبوا بحقوق بتاعهم عشان يواجهوا شنو الظلم اللي هم قاعدين يلقوه. برضو 16 days of activism قاعد يساعد انه بيكون في منصة كويس بليم، يعني ما قاعد يكون على مستوى بتاع جنوب السودان، لكن it is international.
Global.
So it's globally, like all of us together. كلنا في محل واحد عندنا الموضوع بتاعنا العنف ضد المرأة.
Shukran. And the bridge our later, yeah, Flora, it will be good soon. It will be good soon. Gisma Wenis.
Okay, thank you so much for hosting us. Actually, it's an opportunity and a privilege for me to discuss in regards to the 16 days of activism and what it means to us and why are we actually celebrating the 16 days of activism. I think it's important because this one is an opportunity that actually makes us to revitalize our commitments and also call for accountability and actions from the decision makers. Because, you know, when we talked about the human rights violations, it happens in many ways. And also looking at the gender-based violence, the most groups that have been affected, normally they are women and girls, which is also a threat and also a concern for us. So every year we are celebrating it so that it keep on reminding us that we still need to improve on the violations that are happening towards women, on the violations that are happening for the young girls, and how do we become accountable towards that. How do we ensure that also we alert or inform the decision makers to take some measures that will be able to prevent such kind of violence that are happening against women?
Great. Yeah. Before we talk about prevention itself, it's important that we know the root causes of why this is happening in our society before we can give remedies and you know, find solutions. What do you think are some of the triggers or the contributors to gender-based violence in our society today, as in South Sudan?
In South Sudan, you know, this gender-based violence actually is attached to the cultural stereotypes. You know, like they are that belief people looked at, you are just a woman, and they have a right, like for men, they dominate everything, and then they believe like whatever they say is the right thing. You are just a woman, you can't do anything. And that's why it also resulted in terms of the beating of a wife or maybe your daughter or even any female child or woman. You just feel like, you know, being the man, you are the head and you can dominate everything.
But is that true, though? Is that true? Is that what is happening in our society as a tradition? Because if we look at our great grandparents, they respect their women a lot. I don't think there was a lot of beating, a lot of caning. Is it something that is changing right now, that is happening now than more than previously? So it's no longer a cultural thing as such, but changing society, that probably there are some triggers that are happening.
Changing also happened, but also even if we talked about the previous people or maybe our grandfathers, maybe they are not beating their wife to that extent, but also there are those who beat their wives. But also the concern comes in terms of the violation, because when we talked of the violence against a certain group, we are looking at in terms of the decision making. You know, women become vulnerable in their communities, despite that the men are not beating them, but also when it's come to the decision, for example, when it's about your daughter getting married, you know, it's kind of a man kind of discussion. A woman will not even be consulted. So they consider you as someone who will just be there inside the kitchen, maybe making tea or preparing food for people to eat while they are busy sitting under the tree, or maybe in a small tukul discussing about your daughter who is getting married. So this one is also a violation.
All right. So women don't have a say at the end of the day when it comes to issues to do with marriage. Gizma, I tell you good sinofi kalamde.
Yeah, I'm just adding to what she said. As sakafat, fi sak ma sakafa haga na kuluka, wala adadu tagalit haga na kuluka, lakin fi juzu minu gadi dur anuswan. زي ثقافات بتاعت انه المرأة ما عنده قرار او البنت ما عنده قرار في حتة بتاعت لما نيجي زواج بتلقى انه ابوك وامك ولا ابوك هناك بيتفق مع امام and then they decide on behalf of you. كمان بيجي مرة مرحلة بتاعت انه العنف ده بيبدأ وين في ثقافاتنا الضارة بيعرسوا بنات صغار احنا ما بنقولش انه الزواج المبكر ده حاجات برضو بيضر حقوق بتاعت المرأة. الحاجة الثانية احنا عندنا مشكلة بتاعت الدوري مال. لانه قاعدين نشوف للبيت ده انه ده قروش. كان في عندنا الناس اللي قاعدين يعرسوا ببقر ولا الناس اللي قاعدين يعرسوا بقروش. So it's just source of income.
So في رايه بتاعك should dowry be abolished؟ ده جال كده ويجي فوتافان يعني بيجيبوا مشاكل كتير لنساوين او لرجال كمان؟
أنا ما بقول إنه وقفوا، لكن في حاجات إحنا ممكن نعمله بطريقة كويس ويكون كويس
لكلنا. So Gran, yes, you're shaking your head. What could you like to add on that?
In regarding to the issue of dowry, I think it's also a concern, and it's one of the things that has actually made some of the men who are rich, like to feel that, you know, they have a right to marry more than 10 or even more than, based on, as long as they have the money, they can be able to what? To marry. So they don't look into that. And also the issue of the dowry, actually, it has resulted in terms of the competition that we have seen, you know, that are happening in regarding to the child, marriage. Because some people feel that, you know, I have all the resources I can be able to afford. So why not to go and do competition, you know? So the dowry also contributed into that. And also it has resulted in terms of the drug substance, you know, in terms of the use, how the youths are using it. Because, you know, you graduate, maybe a fresh graduate, and you're still struggling to get a job. You have maybe your lover. And then looking at in terms of the dowry, the way how the parents are even charging, you know, it becomes like a kind of frustration to you. So the little money that you are serving or maybe you're earning at the end of the month, it will not actually help or maybe make you to make your dream come true. So that's why some of our men, they end up becoming drug substance. Like they become hopeless. Like the environment
get, they
is
get
not...
They get discouraged and result into substance abuse.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you suggest then when it comes to the issues of dowry?
I think there is a need for people to have a dialogue
And that's why we're having this conversation right now. We'd like to hear your suggestion. What's your suggestion moving forward?
Yeah, I think we really need to take the issue of the dowry seriously in terms of how do we charge when it's come to issue of the dowry. And we should not also forget our cultural or maybe the traditional way of getting marriage. Why can't we not go back to our traditions?
You know what I can tell you? It's a little complicated, obviously, when it comes to the issue of dowry, because at the end of the day, South Sudanese women, for example, I've never found one who will not insult their husband, gali itajadu madafa mali firaz betai, in case you do not pay dowry. They will say that, you haven't paid anything on my behalf. How can you have a say on me? This is something that is happening. Of course, it shouldn't also look like you're buying a woman. No, you're not doing that. This is supposed to be an appreciation to the family for raising a very decent young lady who you want to spend the rest of your life with. And it shouldn't be like cut and 100. We've seen 100 or 500 stuff being given. So yes, moving forward, as human rights defenders, you raise a very important issue. We're having this conversation right now. It's not a matter of saying, let us have a conversation on this. So let's have it right now. What is the suggestion when it comes to the issues of dowry? Yes, Gizma.
You already mentioned that it's supposed to be as appreciation. Mahaja and Hina Derina Molbo Munafasa, Derina Molbo Show of Derina Molbokida. The Kentna Lorajana, Hina Kajunubin, Figabain and Mukhtalif, Hina and Adad Zaman. أجدادنا وحبوباتنا تم الزواج بتام بطريقة ده فإحنا لازم ناخد الحاجات ده في اعتبار لأنه في النهاية إحنا عايزين نقيم المرأة إحنا عايزين ما نقول ما الراجل يقول أنا ما دفعت كتير أنا اشتريتك أو مرة يقولوا إيه دفعت شنو لكن حاجة بس as a respect for your family.
Great. Yes, this is where the big conversation of course begin every morning, and this is Friday's Know Your Right. We're having this discussion here with us this morning. It's about the 16 days of activism and of course taking a stand against gender-based violence. Now, you can call us and talk to our guests here if you have any question, any clarification, anything you'd like to know concerning this particular topic. I'll be opening the lines later. But before we go there, we heard about the United Nations Fund, which is, of course, have released a report, and they're saying there has been a 30% increase on gender-based violence since 2023. First of all, what initiative as Human Rights Defenders Network, what are you doing in order to help? Because 30% is quite really a lot when it looks at, it should be really decreasing and not actually increasing. First, what will you attribute to the reason of the increase? And as Human Rights Defenders Network, what is the way forward? What are you doing? What initiative have you put in place to make sure that at least somehow this is reduced? Flora.
Thank you so much. I think this is in regards to what I have said earlier regarding why do we celebrate these 16 days of activism. I think it keeps on in terms of reminding us of the things that are happening. And it's good that, we are documenting those things because, if you want to make a change, then research or documentation is actually one of the important aspects that we need to have it. From our side, normally what we do is the awareness-raising campaigns. It's not only in the radio station, but also we do go to the communities in the ground to alert them and to keep them informed of why gender-based violence is harmful for us as a community, and how can we actually, as a community, work together towards eliminating or maybe preventing those gender-based violence, because it should be our collective responsibility. We shouldn't look at ourselves that this is specific organization, or maybe because we are with the South Sudan Human Rights Network Defenders, then it is our work to do these things. But rather,
everybody should get involved.
But rather, it is our collective responsibility. How do we ensure that we create a conducive environment that will accommodate all of us,
absolutely,
with respect to where we are coming from? So one of the key things is actually we do awareness. And also we do trainings because, trainings help us to go more deeper on actually in terms of the defining the gender-based violence, what are the consequences involved in it, how can we prevent it. So By informing the community or maybe the citizens regarding those harmful practices, it actually makes them to own the process, and also they will be answerable and also working hard to ensure that they also prevent those things from happening within their locality. Yeah.
Yes, and just before we take some phone calls, Gisma, just we did mention one of the reasons, some of the reasons as to why this is happening, but now let's look at the solutions. Moving forward, what do you think, if put in place, if there's a magic button we can press and all of a sudden gender-based violence disappears, what could that be? I mean, where do we start from?
We continue with advocacy and lobby, especially with the lawmakers. في قوانين نحن عايزين إنه البرلمان يعمل له passing زي anti GBV bill. عندنا قانون بتاع بيقولوا family and domestic bill. So دل قوانين اللي إحنا بنشوف إنه القوانين اللي عملوا له passing وبيجوا يعملوا له implementation بيساعد كثير عشان إحنا نقدر شنو ننقص من العنف ضد المرأة اللي قاعد يحصل. فوجود بتاعة القوانين ده الأساس، لأنه إحنا بنمسك إن إحنا عندنا القانون، بعد كده إحنا بنقدر نمشي مع القوانين. الحاجة الثانية برضو، وإحنا عندنا قوانين ده لازم إحنا نعمل awareness، لازم نعمل توعية للناس، لازم نخلي الناس هم يعرفوا القوانين ده شنو وشنو، يعني لازم إنت تعرف الحق بتاعك عشان تقدر تطالب بيه. الحاجة الثانية برضو أول أخير، through the women human rights defenders cluster. We also, زي احنا شايفين 16 days of activism, ما عشان احنا كمان بس نتكلم عن السفايفر, but also كمان عن الاكتيفيزم. القاعدين يشتغلوا في البرنامج محتاجين, لانه these things affect them mentally. So we also walk through their mental health, لانه انت لما تكون عقلك صحي, you will work better. So we do this through psychosocial support.
All right. Yes, Itawonu Skalam Tagawanin, which is very, very important. And yes, South Sudan have some of the best laws when it comes to really, when you, by the book, if you go through some of the laws, they're absolutely excellent. But when it comes to the implementation of these laws, and one of the things that you ladies haven't raised is the level of impunity on crimes when it comes to gender-based violence, even to the extent that some police stations can send people back home, God, you know what, this is a family matter, go out there and resolve it yourselves. When it comes to the issue of impunity and people getting away with beating their wives or beating their husbands, by the way, it's not only one way, and how can this issue of impunity be addressed? Because if you do it today and you got scot-free, there's probably 99.9% chance of you doing it again. So as human rights defenders, the issue of impunity, how should this be handled?
You know, it's actually something that is it's good that you brought up. And looking at this issue, you know, it actually raises a concern after a series of engagement and trying to assess the ground. How, and also looking at the police station, how do they handle such kind of issues? Mm-hmm. Because normally, you know, without even understanding the other side, they will just reach into conclusion, you know, this is kind of a family discussion, so they will advise you to go and settle those issues at home. Forgetting that, you know, you have already endangered someone's life. Because maybe there is a serious beating that has happened. Maybe there is also an harassment that may be at the gunpoint, mm-hmm. and all this one. So they should have at least understand and look into that as and take it a serious matter that needs actually to be looking at. And that's why it actually make us to work with some organization to ensure that we have also the gender desk at the police station. At least some of the police station are having gender desk that at least they can be able to look into the women affairs or maybe some of the challenges that women are facing, so that that particular desk will be able to address their concern. And also we have in some areas we also have, you know, this, they call it a community policing committee. You know, we also ensure that we build relationship between the communities and also the police within their localities, so that they can be able to hotspot the challenges that are happening within their area, mm-hmm. and who can actually support them in terms of that. So, you know, it's all about building relationship with the different stakeholders and also understanding our roles, mm-hmm. as the stakeholders. Where do we come in when there is a concern? So those are some of the things that we are actually working hard. And hopefully, our hope is that South Sudan will be able to have the gender desktop at all level of the police station, at the especially being from Juba and going to the other parts of South Sudan.
Thank you. And yes, if you just join us, this is Know Your Rights on Radio Miraya. And my guest today, this morning, we are discussing and looking particularly at the taking a stand against gender-based violence. And we have Gizma Juma, an activist, South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network, Women's Cluster. We also have Flora Lokudu, activist, South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network. And we are discussing. So if you have a question, you have a comment, you have any thing you would like to say on this program, please don't hesitate. Talk to us and let's take some two calls and then we'll get a chance for you to answer. Good morning.
Morning to you. You are connected to Community Advisor from Jongle State Board.
Community Advisor from Jongle State Board. Welcome. It's good to have you. You have any question, comment to our guest in the studio?
Yes, I have only two questions.
Please go ahead.
Let me start by welcoming the guest in the studio today, mm-hmm. and the presenter of today.
Yes.
I have only two questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first question goes like this. All our women, our young women now that are socially in Juba, they used to use their bodies. Is it the human right tell them to have that freedom or not?
Okay, can you break it down a little bit? We don't want to assume things. You said most ladies are slaying. Is that what you're saying? What do you mean?
Those ladies, most of the ladies now, have become slay in Juba. Slay queen in Juba. They used to go with anybody, any man who have a lot of money. Now, they are driving cars, but they were getting those from the men. Is it human right tell them that to use their bodies? Number one. We have the youngest ladies who have not married. They are already to be a woman in their family. Is it right?
Okay. So
thank you so much.
Community advisor.
Yes.
I would like to get a few clarification from you. Yes. Because what sounds like more of generalization, you're just putting it out there as a blanket accusation. You said, are you, in other words, and I'm not putting more words into your mouth, are you trying to say that some of the issues of gender-based violence are being caused by women themselves of what they do? Is that what you're trying to say in other words?
Yeah, that's what I want to drive.
This is what
that
you're trying
what
to drive for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, bro.
So what because is your, so what is your, so what is your question?
My question is, we give a human we give freedom to women, but the women tend to violate the right. Is it good for them to violate the right?
Well, men are given to freedom too, and they do what they want to do with their freedom,
yes.
isn't
to,
it?
To sell your body.
Okay, thank you, community advisor. We got your concern and. Yes, our guests will be able to answer some of your questions. Now, let's take another one. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you, Sir William.
Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Yes, this is OJDK from Ye.
OJDK.
Yeah.
Yeah, please, can you reduce the volume of that radio, turn it off, because I can hear some feedbacks at the background. Are you there? Hello? Hello, are you there? All right.
But otherwise,
yes.
Those are illegal acts that are happening.
Well, OJDK, I'm afraid I wasn't hearing your at the beginning, please. If you don't mind, Can you start afresh? What are you saying?
Yes, what I'm saying is that what my brother said, the past caller, is not something that women are selling themselves. The first question could be, what comes that women are selling themselves? Is because there's poor family control. That's one. So the cause of women selling themselves is because there's no proper management in the houses. That is one. And men are the causes. Then the other thing is, let us not look at the GBB cause as only men being the perpetrators. Women also are perpetrators of GBB. Do you know that? In some extent, there are women who are more stronger than men who can cause that. So GBB should not be attributed only to men, but also men can do that and women can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, yes, women are vulnerable. But in real sense, we men should control our powers, not to endanger women to domestic violence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us. Well, two callers with their views there. Let's give a chance to our guests, of course, to answer that. Who'd like to take first? Flora Gizmo. Flora, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much. For our community advisor from Ball, I will just say that, you know, sometimes it's good that he has said he's a community advisor, and then it will actually be good to maybe analyze before you raise a concern about the things that you wanted to bring on board, because if we started generalizing people, then we are not actually making impact, or maybe we are not doing anything, but rather we are trying to cause more harm to ourselves. And the issue of the slave queens, or maybe what is happening around, you know, we are talking about the freedom of, you know, like, you have your own freedom, you can decide on what you want. But also, we are also, as South Sudanese, we are also looking at our cultural setting and the way how we have been raised. There are some cultures that we inherit from other places, and it should not be an excuse for our men to start generalizing and saying that, you know, women are doing this one because they wanted maybe cars and all those stuff. Some of us, we are working, and I can afford, if I can afford to pay for my siblings or maybe my family, I can also afford to cater for my needs, you know. So they should also differentiate between a woman who is a working class and also a woman who is not working. In today's reality, if we talked about the situation we have in our country, most of the women, they are trying their best to make sure that they sustain their family. So women become the breadwinner of their family. Not that we are not acknowledging, or maybe we are not respecting our men, but because we understand the situation we are in. And that's why we are working hard to make sure we provide the necessary support that our family will be in need of it. And the issue of just messing up, you know, those things are happening. But we should also know that those cultures are being inherited from somewhere. Okay. And this one will also bring us back in terms of the laws, the policies that we have in our country. How can we ensure that we protect such kind of practices, or maybe we leave such kind of practices from happening?
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah, I also want to respond that to the community advisor. Human rights, it doesn't mean حقوق الإنسان ما فوضى. حقوق الإنسان دي حاجات أدونا ربنا خلقنا بيه. سو إحنا بنتكلم عن الحقوق اللي إحنا مفترض يكون ما يشيلوا مننا. فأنت لما تلخبط بين حقوق الإنسان والفوضى دي حاجة اللي إنت ما بتفهمه هنا. وبرضو العنف ضد النوع. ما قلنا ضد مرأة ولا ضد راجل. لكن ضد النوع that means we cover both men and women. Some behaviors, there's individual behaviors we cannot generalize. وإحنا برضو لو رجعنا في عاداتنا وتقاليدنا وثقافاتنا أنا قلت قبل إنه إحنا عندنا ثقافات كويس في ثقافات تانين شوية كده other cultures harmful. That's what we are talking about. But we are not saying that's all our cultures are bad.
All right. Okay, you can still talk to us this morning here. Of course, this is where we talk about your rights and other people's rights, of course, how to respect and, of course, how to address them as well when violated. Now, that brings us to the issue earlier, and probably they mentioned it, but in a different way, is when it comes to gender-based violence, when it comes to violence, by and all means, just violence, even if it's not gender-based violence, but violence is a result of a conflict, all right? If there is a conflict in the house, there's a misunderstanding of whatsoever parties, before it gets to physical violence or it gets to some level of violence, is because the two have failed to resolve their issues peacefully. So that comes to the family level now, when, you know, like in a family, as human rights defenders, before you even prevent, before you begin resolving issues of gender-based violence, how do we prevent it? How should families resolve their issues? How should couples resolve their problems without going physical, without violence? Because I've never seen a family that does not have any issue whatsoever. Well, maybe I'm naive. But how do families, or how should families resolve their issues without violence?
Thank you so much. I think you have already started by saying that, you know, conflict is happening actually, or something that happens before violence.
Well, I'm just speculating. I don't know. Probably so, there are families that don't have.
You know, like conflict is actually it's something that unavoidable. We can't avoid it because it do happens in our daily life. We do have disagreement among ourselves. We can't understand each other and all this one. Mm-hmm. But those are the signs. Or once we have noticed, especially when it's come to the family level, you know, when you started realizing that there is a misunderstanding. Because as a father or a mother, you know, sometimes when you have your children, you can even realize from the way how they are doing their things, you can be able to differentiate between if they are in a good term or they are not in a good term. Mm-hmm. So after realizing that, you know, something is wrong, try to bring them and understand what is happening between them so that you resolve it earlier. Because the more you delay, then you are actually giving the privileges for them to
manufacture multiply
and then it will keep on increasing to an extent whereby if no one pays attention towards addressing this one, then definitely it will result into violence, which is now the fight, because like none of them is able to tolerate any longer. So those are some of the things, and I will encourage that, you know, the aspect of dialogue is always important among us as families. Yeah, we do understand conflict happens, but how do we handle our issues? How do we ensure that we prevent it from causing more harm to us? So the early warning is actually better than leaving it to reach to a certain stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. And yes, just before, because we're left with only 5 minutes to go, and this is, okay, Gizma, you really, really want to say something. Please go ahead.
Solving the conflict within the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. دايماً بيكون بحوار. وفي الحوار برضو تدي لأي زول فرصة يعبر عن الحاجة اللي هو قاعد يحس بيه أو اللي هي قاعد تحس بيه. لأنه ده بيساعد إنه أنت بتحل المشكلة. مرات يمكن ذاته ما بيكون دير حل. في ناس كان يتكلم خلاص. So لازم إحنا ندي الفرصة ده. كان إنت مرة ولا كان راجل. You need to have that dialogue and discussion and give chance for to express yourself.
Kilma malaise de mohim kales for lessons.
Yeah.
Malaise de mohim.
Yeah.
Muni akere kelim malaise. Mara or raja.
Ma dururi munu yahu kelim. Lakin nasi salfi marhala bitat understanding and then they can say sorry and
apologize and let it go. All right.
In fact, both of them can say sorry to each other.
Okay. So guys, you had it there. Let's before I give you a chance to say your final remarks and messages out there, it is important to notice that this program is also organized by the Army's Human Rights Defenders Department, Human Rights Department rather. How do you collaborate with the departments like UNMIS Human Rights Division and Human Rights Defenders to try to, you know, advocate for human rights in the country? How do you work together, basically?
Okay. Normally we work together through advocacy, which we sometimes organize advocacy event. We have lobbies, meetings together, and through UNMIS Human Rights Division, our voices can be reached to UN Human Rights Council, and it can be reached globally. So, and also we can easier our works sometimes, as not only sometimes, but as a South Sudan Human Rights Defender Network, we don't have offices in the States, but through the UNMIS Human Rights Division, because UNMIS is all over, so we can also use this access and we can be able to reach to all the South Sudan.
Great. Yes, you like to add something on that?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think in terms of our collaboration, we are looking in terms of the partnership that we have, because, you know, we may have different approaches, and also there are a lot of opportunities that make us actually to come together with them, and also sometimes we do trainings to the people and also the police. You know, like UNMISS is actually contributing a lot and in terms of supporting our communities in South Sudan, and by recognizing also the existing local organizations in the ground, so that, you know, it makes the work more easier for them to access other parts of the country. And today we are here discussing about 16 days of activism and the human rights, the women and everyone's rights, you know.
Yeah.
So those are some of the privileges that I can say we have through UNMISS, and we continue engaging for the betterment of our country.
Flora and Gizma, I think we can speak the whole day talking about this topic, which is interesting, but that's the time we have. Thank you so very much for coming to Know Your Rights. Let's do this again some other time. We wish you all the best. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, with that, that brings us to the end of Know Your Rights for this week. Catch me for another edition next week. Same time, same program. Of course, same radio station. I've been with you, Savid William. Do have a very lovely weekend. As I always say, let the weekend not weaken you. And secondly, please don't drink and drive. But if you must drink, drink milk. Bye-bye for now and have a lovely day.